This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Consumers may see a new financial watchdog when President-elect Joe Biden takes office in January. A recent Supreme Court ruling paves the way for the Biden administration to appoint a new head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The agency protects consumers in the financial marketplace from abuse and predatory practices. President Donald Trump appointed the current director, Kathy Kraninger, at the end of 2018. The very first director of the CFPB was Richard Cordray, the former Ohio Attorney General, Democratic gubernatorial candidate, and author of Watchdog: How Protecting Consumers Can Save Our Families, Our Economy, and Our Democracy. And he's our guest now. He joins us on the phone. Richard Cordray, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
My pleasure.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And I was hoping that we could just start this conversation with you explaining to our listeners how, as designed, does the CFPB play a role in the lives of Americans? Where would we see it?
Well, first of all, I think you see it in every way in which families use credit to help manage their household finances. So credit cards, mortgages, student loans, auto loans, you name it. Secondly, I think that especially during the current pandemic and the economic fallout from the economic crisis this has created for so many families, there is a great need for the Consumer Bureau to protect families against harassing debt collectors, against credit reporting malfunctions, and other things that undermine their financial situations.
The first time that we started to hear of this agency, back when it was created, the country was crawling out of the grips of the Great Recession. And now here we are with another significant economic impact that so many of us are dealing with across this country. This is an agency whose creation, some could argue, gave rise to the political prominence of Elizabeth Warren. You were the first to lead this agency. When you think back to the CFPB's creation and the way it helped lead the response to the Great Recession, what role do you see it playing on the other side of dealing with this pandemic-induced economic insecurity?
Well, I think that there's a lot of problems that people not being able to work or not being able to work the number of hours that they had expected is creating for family finances. And that's going to lead to people who are behind on their bills, already is in many cases. It's leading to people being backed up on paying rent or paying their mortgages. And how that's all going to be handled, as you say, on the other side of this crisis is going to have a significant effect on whether families end up completely financially bereft or whether they are able to muddle through. And it's becoming a crisis for millions of American households.
What are some of the tools that would be available to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to help everyday families with those types of issues?
Well, let's take, for example, somebody who owns a house and is paying on a mortgage. If suddenly they aren't able to work because their business has been closed down or their hours have been reduced, they have had an opportunity under the CARES Act passed by Congress to get forbearance on their mortgage, which means that they're not necessarily paying the full amount of the mortgage each month and back rent, back mortgage payments are piling up. How that's handled at the end of the forbearance period, whether they're being expected to pay the entire lump sum that's due at once, which many of them are not going to be able to do, or spread it out over time, which is what rules of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau have indicated is the preferred approach. How that's handled by these companies is going to matter greatly to whether families are able to survive and maintain their houses or whether they're going to be foreclosed on.
We're talking to Richard Cordray. He's the former Ohio Attorney General, also the first to lead the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in Washington. I want to ask you about what's happening in Washington right now as it relates to relief for the American people during this pandemic. There's legislation being debated right now, and it appears that some of the hangups are related to relief in different sectors, some for direct payments to Americans, others for protections of businesses against lawsuits related to the coronavirus and any potential infections. We're hearing arguments about forgiving student loans and that sort of thing. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are as you watch this debate play out in Washington with the American public in need of assistance, businesses in need of assistance, local governments, state governments in need of assistance. What are your thoughts about the context of that conversation. Do you think that the arguments being made are effective and important?
Those discussions are incredibly important. And just to look back to the beginnings of the pandemic, Congress operated pretty effectively at that time. Both Congress and the president cooperated in passing the CARES Act, which got a lot of money into the hands of ordinary families through the stimulus checks, the $1,200 checks at that time, and the enhanced unemployment benefits. Many households saw their monthly income actually increase during the first part of this crisis. And that was appropriate because it wasn't that people, through some fault of their own, were not working. They were being told to stay home, ordered to stay home. Businesses were ordered to be closed in many places. Hours were reduced. And therefore, Congress came up with the money to try to make people whole. Now, as this has dragged on, I think it's become very frustrating for the American people to see that they're in the same situation. They have the same needs, and Congress has not yet stepped up to address those needs. There's a lot of squabbling going on in Washington. There's a lot of areas of agreement, but they really need to focus on the areas of agreement and get money into people's hands now when it's needed the most.
I guess that's an answer to a question I could have phrased better moments ago. What are your thoughts about these payments, direct payments to Americans? These aren't a given this time around. They were pretty quickly included in the first round of the CARES Act. But right now we're hearing maybe $1,200 again, maybe $600, maybe nothing. And the hangup appears to be that Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, the Republican from Kentucky, is committed to ensuring that there are protections for businesses from any type of litigation related to the coronavirus and potential infection there. What do you see, if anything, as a problem in that type of conversation?
Well, the Congress seems to be very hung up right now between Republicans who are insisting on these liability protections for businesses and the Democrats who very much are insisting on help and assistance to state governments. And by the way, we have learned some lessons from the last financial crisis. Certainly, it was extended and the recession was extended because state and local governments had to lay a lot of people off because of declining tax revenues. And the same thing is going to be happening now. So that's a need. There's been some suggestion that those two issues be deferred until after the first of the year and go ahead and get money directly in the hands of families. They're down to very short strokes in the Congress now before they adjourn for the end of the year. So it may be that's all that they can manage to do. I think they should do as much as they can do and not get hung up on areas of disagreement. But that's a very lively and important debate going on there right now.
We're talking with Richard Cordray, the former Ohio Attorney General and also the former director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in Washington. I should note that some recent reporting by Bloomberg characterized Wall Street as being worried about the CFPB becoming stronger under a President Biden administration. I'll read part of their reporting. Quote, the Trump administration has done its best to neuter the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, giving large banks a reprieve from aggressive enforcement and new rules. With Joe Biden ascending to the White House, Wall Street is worried it will be quickly resurrected. I'll also note some reporting from Marketplace that says, however, a spokeswoman defended Kraninger's tenure. Total consumer redress and relief in 2019 was the third highest in bureau history, and the number of new enforcement actions in 2020 are on pace to be the highest in 5 years. That reporting goes on to say those numbers are inflated, according to consumer advocates. Richard, why would Wall Street be worried about the agency you used to lead being stronger under President Biden?
Well, first of all, the Wall Street Journal editorial page has always been biased against the Consumer Bureau. They've never really understood that if you improve the performance of these financial companies, you actually improve their position in the marketplace, strengthen their relationship with their customers, and provide better customer service. But as to the enforcement actions, the Consumer Bureau needs to be enforcing the law. These companies need to know that they can be held accountable, that somebody's looking over their shoulder. It does improve their performance. And the Consumer Bureau went backwards under Mick Mulvaney and under Kathy Kraninger in slowing the pace of enforcement actions. It's now been speeded up under Kraninger again. but still hasn't returned to the levels when I was the director, where we put $12 billion back in the pockets of 30 million Americans who were cheated or mistreated in the marketplace, and they deserve that kind of protection. So I do think you're going to see a more aggressive CFPB rebalancing the marketplace, and I think that's all to the best.
As you note, you did lead the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. You were the first agency head there. I should note that that marketplace report that I cited moments ago includes what it characterized as a short list of potential candidates to take over that role when President-elect Biden becomes President Biden. And you, Richard Cordray, are on this list. They say Cordray, the first director of the CFPB, is thought to be a logical choice, given his expertise and knowledge of the Bureau's inner workings. So I should ask, are you a candidate for this position again?
Well, look, that's up to the people around President-elect Joe Biden. He will make those decisions, and it's not for me to speculate. I will say that I care deeply about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I spent a year last year writing a book called Watchdog, which details how the Consumer Bureau rose to prominence and the work that it does to protect American households. And it's a roadmap to what that bureau could be again. And so I would like to see it reestablished with its same vitality as before. And I think that will happen under Joe Biden. He's committed to protecting the middle class. And that's the mission of the Consumer Bureau through and through.
And we had the opportunity to read that book, Watchdog, and interview you about it on this program. I don't know if that was earlier this year or last year, but we'll link to that in the post at WVXU.org that includes this conversation and it later this afternoon. Richard, have you had conversations with the Biden transition team?
I've had a number of conversations with the transition team, including the transition team that deals with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They're eager to think about how to set an agenda and a course forward, and I've been glad to help them as much as I can.
So right now, we're looking at the vaccines arriving across the country that are hopefully designed to trigger the end of this pandemic. But the economic impact is probably going to linger for some time. It's not like we're all going to be injected with the vaccine immediately. It's going to take a lot of time. Which sectors in the economy do you think are most vulnerable for prolonged, I probably shouldn't use the word depression since it might not be technically correct, but it's certainly been impacted. Which economic sectors are you most concerned about in the long term?
Well, first of all, President-elect Biden, I think, clearly has the priorities right here. It isn't a question of either or, either fighting the virus or reopening the economy. In order to accomplish what we want to do to move the country forward, you have to do both. And there has to be a priority put on making sure that we fight the virus, get the vaccines out aggressively. And once that has happened, then the economy will flow back to normal. But as you say, there's a lot of damage that has been done. There's a lot of damage that will continue to be done. And I think it's incredibly important that agencies like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and all parts of the federal government be sensitive to the strain this has put on American families and look to protect and support them as much as possible. I do think that's going to be the overriding focus in the early months and perhaps even years of the Biden administration.
So are there any particular parts of the economy, though, that we should be expecting to possibly climb out of this more slowly than others?
Sure. Just as you've seen, it's dramatically affecting the face-to-face economy. Places where to deliver goods and services, people have to interact. That has been restricted. And extra measures that impose costs on businesses have had to be used to protect people's safety. So, you know, we've had a faster transition of more of the economy toward online provision of goods and services. And, you know, that was bound to happen down the road, but it's certainly been accelerated during the year 2020 like we've never seen before. People who can work from home have not been badly damaged during the current crisis, but people who have to work face-to-face in that part of the economy have been hurt very badly, and it's creating uneven effects that are starting to have result in real frustrations for a lot of people who are the ones most affected.
As we noted previously, Richard, this agency emerged out of the country's emergence from the Great Recession as a response to some of the financial situations that led us into that hole. This economic collapse is related to an unprecedented virus situation. I'm wondering, based on your experience in leading the CFPB all those years ago and being a citizen now, watching what's taking place, are there areas of the economy or day-to-day lives of Americans in which we find ourselves more vulnerable in this situation than we do previously when the economy collapsed during the Great Recession?
Well, it's really interesting. I gave a community address earlier this fall comparing the crisis of 2008 to the crisis of 2020, and they're very different. The crisis of 2008 was caused by problems in the mortgage market, which upset housing and led to all kinds of foreclosures and a real disruption to the economy. This time, the economy was fundamentally sound going into the spring of this year. There was no obvious signs that any kind of downturn or recession was impending. And we had a health crisis. We had something very different and unexpected. And as a result of that health crisis, we've had effects on the economy. Once those effects are removed, the economy may well go back to the strength that it exhibited at the beginning of the year. But the concern here and the major job is to prevent the damage that's been done from spreading and to understand the differential effect of this pandemic on different parts of the economy, as you and I discussed a moment ago, and to recognize the need to protect consumers and businesses who are faring poorly given the shifts in the economy that are resulting from the pandemic.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is designed to be a watchdog for consumers. Are there threats that exist now or may exist now that did not before that you think this agency should do a better job in either being prepared for or in taking action against?
There are a number of threats, and among those that I think are right at the top of the list are people in danger of losing their housing due to evictions because of non-payment of rent or foreclosures because of non-payment of mortgages, and the need to handle those situations carefully and skillfully. There's the problem of people who now owe debts and have been unable to pay them and are being harassed by debt collectors who may be pushing the envelope or crossing the line in terms of how they abuse consumers to try to squeeze money out of them. There are problems with the credit reporting agencies. People may be cut off from access to credit because of problems that they are suffering economically because of the pandemic. No fault of their own, no choice of their own. They've lost hours or they've lost revenues in their businesses, and that should be treated specially and not as in the ordinary course. This has been an emergency situation, and people need to be protected given the emergency circumstances.
We've seen a lot of media characterizations about this agency, the CFPB, getting, quote, its teeth back. I'm wondering what type of teeth it has unilaterally. What type of action can it take without either executive or legislative blessing?
Well, I think that's pretty clear. The authority that the Consumer Bureau has and had when I was the director is the same authority it has today. It hasn't changed. There has not been significant legislation affecting the Bureau. So to the extent people think the Bureau was effective 5-6 years ago, and I think it was, it can be again and will be again and can be rebuilt, or as Joe Biden might put it, built back better. And I think that that will happen under his administration, and I've been happy to lend my help and support to them as they think about how to do that.
And if you are someone who returns to Washington, I mean, whether it's you or somebody else, there's going to be somebody leading this agency. It will have to contend with a Washington that is still somewhat divided. We're all watching the Georgia Senate runoffs, where two seats are up for grabs that could dictate the balance of power in the Senate. What do you expect from Washington in that respect? We've seen a lot of gridlock in recent years, certainly in the years that you were in the Obama administration and in the years of the Trump administration. If we have a 50-50 Senate, for example, do you think that that offers more opportunities for what you would characterize as improvements? And then conversely, if the Republicans were to win one or both of those seats in Georgia, what do you see happening?
Well, I think what we see is inevitably there's going to be closely divided government. And that's pretty much what we have seen for the last 10 years or so. It often leads to gridlock. There are times when it can lead to breakthroughs. And it also means that there is more pressure on the executive branch to move on its own to try to address problems in the American public if Congress is not stepping up to address them itself. So there will be a balance, as there always is, between congressional leadership and executive leadership. And, you know, we will see how that unfolds over the next 2, 4, 8 or more years. But I think it's likely within the confines of a closely divided Washington, which, again, is something we've grown to be familiar with.
Indeed. Richard Cordray was the first director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. He was also Ohio Attorney General. Richard, thank you so much for the time you gave us. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again.
Happy to do that. Plenty to talk about,
indeed.
No doubt.
Thanks so much. We'll talk again soon then. Thanks. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.